put yourselves in situations where you get new experiences, because that's where you learn and that's where solid learning happens. Because on a linear path, which you've kind of trend every day, you don't learn too many new things. So taking risk is as important for learning as well.
Welcome to the next episode of the 1% Project, where we bring you insightful conversations with extraordinary individuals who are shaping industries. In this episode, we have the fascinating Durvank Vaidya. Durvank is the head of podcasts for Spotify India. Over a career spanning 25 years, he has launched several media and technology businesses and held leadership positions in digital media, content, television, and technology companies such as Star TV, Times of India Group, and NDTV Imagine. In his entrepreneurial stint, Durvank co-founded The Adaptation Company, a content company focused on book-to-film TV adaptations. During our conversation, Durvank delves into decision-making, career choices, good workplace relationships, and effective team building. Furthermore, Durvank emphasizes on the significance of grit, the balance between being a generalist and a specialist, and the power of a clear vision in leadership. His expertise and passion for media and technology make this episode a must-listen for aspiring entrepreneurs, professionals, and everyone looking to gain valuable insight in these dynamic industries. Make sure to subscribe to the 1% Project wherever you're listening to it, and don't forget to sign up for our Think newsletter at 1%.live for curated content that adds value to your professional and personal development. Stay till the end, where I summarize the key takeaways from this conversation. How was life growing up?
I grew up in Andheri, and we used to live in an apartment complex which had a big ground. There were like three buildings, and between that, there were about 40 kids my age. So growing up in Andheri, I remember always going down to play. And we played mostly team sports because there were just too many people to play individually. So it was cricket, football. We used to play field hockey also for a certain time in life before kind of the ground became too bad and the ball kept bouncing weirdly. Volleyball, we played a lot of volleyball. As soon as you come back from school, you went down to play in the evening. Weekends, you played most of the day. Summer holidays, you played all the day. It was great growing up.
So from there, what was the journey to becoming the head of podcast for Spotify India?
The journey has been, I would say, one stop at a time. When I was in school growing up, it was always like what to do next, right? I mean, that time the options were to study medicine and engineering, and I picked engineering. I studied at Bombay University, Thardwal Chani, did my electronics engineering there. And at that point, I knew I didn't want to do software. So I didn't take the campus placements that were coming up. Sorry, the software company that were coming on campus. But I got into Accenture at that time from campus. So I joined their consulting business and was there for 3 years. Then did my MBA and went again for another year to Accenture before I went to Deloitte in the US. Spent about 4 years there and did a lot of work with media companies. And that was the time when a lot of technology changes were happening. Broadband was coming into play. DSL was big. Wireless broadband was also on the anvil. So a lot of content started getting delivered on your TV at that time and your laptops and computers. That was the time I figured that, look, there is so much change that technology can bring into media. With every new change in technology, business models change, how you approach customers change, content formats change. So that's when I said that, look, media is where I would like to make my career. So I came back to India in 2004 and joined Star TV. So that's where the media journey started. So I've been in television with Star and NDTV Imagine, which then became Turner. Have a few startup stints, have worked in digital media. Before joining Spotify, I was with the Times of India. It's just one step at a time, not like looking too far ahead.
What made you choose Spotify?
So when the podcast opportunity came by, I started looking at it and examining in more detail. Some of the things really fell in place for me was one, that it was a storytelling format. It was a format which was emerging and on the verge of inflection. So it was not something totally new. It had worked and it had started to build an audience, and there was enough proof points about that. And with Spotify in India, I got an opportunity to build the business in India. And given India's language complexity, the kind of content formats that we already have, I thought it would be a great opportunity to build a podcast business in India. That was my primary thing. And of course, Spotify is a great place to work. So I said, yeah, although I don't have any prior experience in audio or in podcasts, let's give it a shot. And here I am.
What did your parents expect you to be?
I think my parents' expectation was that I study well and get good marks. I was in school. After that, they've not put any pressure or any expectation on me. It was me putting that expectation on myself that, okay, now this is what I want to do. I remember that I took several attempts to clear my CAT, the NBA entrance. And my dad was like, why don't you apply for the other entrance exams and get in? And I was like, no, I want to go here and I will try again. Eventually, I got it. From their point of view, there was no pressure. It was always me setting a goal for myself and then trying to.
How has IIM influenced your life?
I think I've made amazing friends at IIM. And that was one, because this was the first time I was staying in a hostel. So you're staying with people from all over India, the brightest minds in the country. I've made a lot of friends. It was also a humbling experience, because when you are in your own school or in your college, you think that you're graduating at the top of your class or you're doing well in your studies. But when you go to the IIMs and kind of meet your batchmates, you see that everyone has topped their classes, but then there is someone who can sing, who plays state level sport, and who can dance well as well, in addition to doing everything in studies. So it is such a phenomenally humbling experience to actually meet people who are much more accomplished than you, who have seen, who have done a lot in their lives, and you get to hang out with them.
Do you attribute your success to your network or to your brilliance?
I don't think there is anything called success. I mean, it is a career journey. And as part of the journey, what one tries to do is A, learn, and B, kind of make friends and kind of have good relationships when you're kind of going through the journey. Because your jobs may change, but the people who you know and people who you work with will continue to remember you. Either they'll have a good memory about you or a bad memory about you. So my attempt has always been that to leave a good impression. Not that I'm sure there are a few people who do have a bad memory about me. Wherever you interact with people, you try to be fair, be straightforward. And yeah, I think that's what it has been. And at the same time, trying to learn something for yourself and see how you can apply it later. Yeah, during that time, or maybe later in other jobs. So that's how I have seen my career. And then one thing has just led to the other.
Let's talk about decision making. You kicked off your career as a management consultant in manufacturing and then moved into media. That was a significant shift. Do you reflect on that decision?
Yes. So actually, these choices have been conscious. While one can say it's serendipity and luck, and that does have a big role, but when you start exploring your next move, you have to pick a direction, and that has been conscious. The way I have examined my decisions is that when learning stops, then you know that it's time to move. Then when you're deciding where to move next, what I try to look at is that where is growth happening? If there is high growth in a particular sector or a segment, then there will be a lot of new opportunities. If it's a very new sector, then nobody will have prior experience in it. So then you are in the same level playing field as others. they will want people from other industries. And of course, if industry is growing rapidly, then in terms of compensation, etc., everything else also comes along with it. Plus, there is phenomenal learning. And what I have found that I work best when I am able to kind of bring to bear multiple fields rather than deep expertise in just one area. So that also, that works great for me. So these are some of the factors I keep in mind when I'm deciding my next move.
What is your view on being a generalist versus a specialist?
So there are people who are either generalists or specialists. But the most important thing is for one to recognize what you are. Because if you are a generalist and you try to specialize in one thing and keep at it, then you may not be happy in the long run. Whereas as soon as you start doing operating across multiple areas, you may find yourself being much more impactful. So I think both approaches work great, but they work at different stages in a company's life cycle. They vary by individual. The sooner you're able to figure what approach works best for you, I think in terms of in your career, you'll have a much more satisfying career.
Recently, I had Brendan Boyle on the podcast from the IDEO Lab. He's also the founder of the Jumper. And he said that companies like IDEO, in place of hiring a generalist versus a specialist, they like to hire T-shirt people, individuals who have experience across a broad range of topics, but they have a key expertise and depth in one specific area.
Absolutely. And I think that makes a lot of sense because you need to know engineering, you need to know thermodynamics, you also need to know aesthetics, design, you need to know physics. Like the other day, my son and I were talking like about how to make a scarecrow. We have a few potted plants outside our window and we have a lot of birds coming there. So he said, Papa, I want to make a scarecrow. And I will put a motor here and put a rotor here. I'll put it all together and then scarecrow will come. I said, why don't you draw it first? So he drew a stick and then he drew a circuit, etc. And then kind of we started asking, okay, so now you have this tall stick and you said they'll have paper wings and it'll look like a bird. But what about the breeze? When there is a lot of breeze, the scarecrow will fall because it's not anchored on sand. How will you kind of anchor it to the base? Because if it is not anchored, it can fall off. That paper might tear. What kind of look will it have so that the bird will get scared? Do you really need a motor or can you do without it? How can you simplify it? So yeah, I mean, all these aspects come into play when you're designing something new. And similarly, when you're launching a new business, you need to be aware of so many factors, which otherwise would one person need not know. A lot of cross-learning.
You have been an entrepreneur. You have launched multiple businesses for MNCs. What is your counterintuitive insight about entrepreneurship?
I think I heard it on a podcast with Brian Chesky. But he says that for you to build something scalable, you have to start doing things that are non-scalable. When you start doing things that are non-scalable, you put things together, you kind of, let's say, if you have to find a new location to, if you have to find a new location to launch a business, you have to go there, look at the site, examine it, how people are coming into your outlet, what are they experiencing inside, etc., etc. So it's a lot of work. It's a lot of observation. It's a lot of non-scalable. But unless you don't see this yourself, unless you don't solve for, unless you don't observe each and every aspect of this, you will not be able to deploy scalable methods to kind of then scale it at a much wider level. That is very critical, especially at the initial stages of a business. Whether you're looking to create content, whether you're looking to acquire listeners or customers, the initial non-scalable part is very important.
What is the role of ego in one's career?
I think ego almost always comes in the way. If you are in a new business or if you're in any business, I think what is most important is for you to know that you can't accomplish anything without your team. You will not know everything there is to know in the world. So you have to keep learning. You have to keep listening. And for that, you have to keep your ego very low, because only then will you be able to connect with people at their level. Only then will people feel free enough to talk to you. Because a lot of times, if you're not approachable, people really don't want to share what they're really thinking. And that hampers you because you're not getting the true feedback that you should be getting about a situation, about a person or a business problem.
Team building. You have played a lot of team sports. So how do you reflect on building teams?
So building teams is one of the hardest things. Because if the team is working well, then yes, things will go well. If not, then you have lots of problems because you'll be solving clashes and managing egos there. What is important for the team to work together is that no team member feels threatened from each other. Ooh. And so that is very important. Second is the team should know that you are working for their benefit. And you yourself are not indulging in politics. You are not playing one team member against the other or just being secretive with a few and being more open with others. I think, so that is important that you're very transparent in communication with the team. You set a very clear direction and then you live up to it. You're following that. Yes, it's okay to change direction, but then again, it's important to communicate why you are changing direction. Because so long as people know why you're changing direction, it's great. They also understand. But if you're not communicating and you just unilaterally change things, then the team is also confused. Because while you are trying to gauge what your teams are thinking, the team is also trying to gauge what their bosses think. And it's important that there is very transparent communication on both sides. Yeah, and the team should know that you have their back. That only comes when you act in situations where they are in trouble and you are able to stand up for them. So I think these things are important.
What is your superpower?
I don't think I have superpowers and I really don't believe in that. I think it's more about doing something and doing something consistent. I have changed a lot of roles. I've gone into new industries. And what I think that has helped me a lot is first principles thinking. As soon as you are in a new situation, you try and get as much information about it as possible and then boil it down to first principles and say, okay, how is this going to work? Use some comparables either from other industries that you worked with or through some reading that you may have done. And then say that, look, okay, this is the mental model that I have formed. Now let's go and approach it and expand. So I think that first principles thinking is what has worked for me most of the time. So just keep being curious, gathering as much information about the situation as possible and be open to change your mind or be open to be proven wrong.
Which is your best leadership advice that you've ever received?
So my wife runs a media platform called India Development Tribute. It is focused on the social sector. And I've seen this company grow up from scratch, where she started. And I think the way she has approached her business is a great learning for me as well, because how she's put together the teams, how kind of the teams interact with each other, how they treat each other as equal, even if there is a 20-year age difference. I think some of those learnings have been very helpful. So that is one big influence on the way I approach teams and leadership. The other thing that I really believe in now is that to be a leader, you need to give vision to your team. I think the vision is very important because execution, there is the team to execute. But if you are not able to provide them the vision, then they don't know in what direction to go. So vision is very important if you want to extract the best out of and have everyone work in the same way.
Who is Dhruvang in a stressful situation?
I am very quiet. I kind of introspect a lot when I am under stress, but I will still try and find a way out. I'll try and find a person who I can talk to that can help me in this situation. Usually, when there is stress, it means that you're put in a situation where you've not been before. So typically, it's always a different person that you have to reach out to. Kind of being quiet, keeping to oneself and not talking, I think those are things that my wife has also pointed out. Why don't you share more? And I'm like, dude, Just leave me alone for now. So yeah, that happens.
What are your three productivity tools?
Focusing on few things is most important. Even if it is like, if you decide focus for the month, for the week, for the day, then it really helps you prioritize your time. Doing the Pareto principle is also very important. Like you look at everything that you have in hand and then you say that, okay, how much impact will my time create for every task? And then you decide that, look, where can I create maximum impact? I think that is most important. And then you kind of plan your week on the calendar rather than a to-do list, because once you will start allocating time for things, and then you make space for them. Otherwise, it's very hard to just do it on a linear basis. And at the end of the evening, you figure that, oh, you don't have enough time for it.
Let's talk about books, coffee, and walks. What is your relationship with books?
Books are a very dear friend. Books open doors for me that usually, otherwise I would have no way of getting into. So these days, I read a lot of history. And books are amazing for that. And of course, I read fiction as well. So it's not just nonfiction. I read fiction as well. But history is something that I've started to like a lot. And so authors like William Dalrymple, Manu Pillai are like ones which come to mind. Recently, I read a book called Murder in the Mushaira, which was set in 1847 India, in Delhi. And there is a murder just on the anvil of the first revolution. And Mirza Ghalib is the detective who solves the mystery. So, like, historical setting and using figures who existed at that time, but a fiction story. Quite an eclectic reading list.
And your passion for coffee?
I think passion started about 10 years back. I've been drinking coffee for a really long time. Earlier, it was more like flavored milk with sugar. Just put coffee to change color. But about 10 years back, I started to figure that, look, I like to drink coffee. But whenever I used to make coffee, the taste was always inconsistent. So I joined one workshop where they taught you to make different kinds of coffee. I got to understand a little bit of the chemistry of coffee making and how much it's grew, etc., etc. Not that I know much, but I just know enough to make a good cup of coffee for myself. I've been kind of starting my day with coffee. It's usually black with a little bit of milk and no sugar. And it's a good start to the morning, if I say. And I still read newspapers. So you sit on a chair, have a cup of coffee, read newspapers, and then the rest of the day can begin.
And your walks?
It started about some 6-7 years back when my son started going for athletics coaching. He used to be on the ground by 4:30 in the morning. He used to wake up much earlier than that. And once he started his workouts, I used to go to the beach and walk. It was about an hour, 15-minute walk. And early morning on the beach, that was the time I thought that, look, I need to have something accompanying me. Otherwise, it's like too early in the morning because I'm not a morning person, naturally. So that's when I started listening to podcasts. And that's how I got into the habit of listening to podcasts, because it was like walking used to happen every day. And hence, podcast listening also happened every day, at least for an hour. I have really fond memories of it.
One advice that you would give to your younger self?
Take more risks. I think I was too risk-averse earlier. Even today, you would not call me very risk-friendly, but I would say take more risk, be more open to experiment, put yourselves in situations where you get new experiences, because that's where you learn and that's where solid learning happens. Because on a linear path, which you've trained every day, you don't learn too many new things. So taking risk is as important for learning as well. So yeah, that would be definitely one thing.
And before we close, if you had to choose between one of these people, who would you choose? Someone with high grit or brilliance?
So grit, definitely. Because you don't know what the environment will throw at you, right? And because of grit, you're saying that, look, whatever comes, I will figure it out and find my way through. Brilliance. And so then you kind of take energy from your surroundings, people who you interact with, other people outside of you, whereas brilliance looks inside and tries to see that what can I do and how can I solve this and why have I not been able to solve this yet. So yeah, definitely great.
That is a great place to close this conversation. Thanks, Arvind, for being on the show.
Super. Thanks a lot, Pratish. Great having this chat.
Hope you enjoyed the conversation. Here are the takeaways. Number one, Durvank emphasizes on the significance of fostering positive workplace relationships throughout one's career, as connections made with colleagues and acquaintances can have lasting impact. Number two, the suitability of the generalist or the specialist approach in one's career depends on an individual's preference. It is essential to figure out which approach suits one best at the earliest for a fulfilling career. And number three, without a defined vision, team members lack direction and struggle to align with their efforts. By offering a compelling vision, leaders can inspire and motivate their team, enabling everyone to work cohesively towards a common goal. If you enjoyed this conversation, share it with someone who will need it. For any recommendations and suggestions, you can drop me a line at Pratish@1%.life. Until next time.